already Monday morning conversation. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, sir.
We talked earlier, and to be honest with you, I have almost totally forgot about what we just talked about last hour. A lot has happened between then and now, but I knew that we were going to pick up kind of where we left off. I know I remember talking to you about when you're showing houses in the summertime and the springtime when the weather's nice. I'm assuming that you talk to your clients about, now we have to think of what it's going to be like in the wintertime when the snow is here and these steps might be all full of ice and stuff like right. that. So that is stuff that has to come out with a real estate professional when you're looking at any kind of property. You got to know what's going to happen when it doesn't look like it does outside right now.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, especially we have so many people that are coming north to retire or to buy their second home. And that second home might be only used in the summertime, or maybe they're snowmobilers and they want to come up in the winter. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But we had a saying back in forestry school, the world changes north of the 45th parallel.
Okay.
And if you look at a map, Highway 64 is darn close to that 45th parallel.
Yep.
And it does. Those of us that travel back and forth, you know, maybe you're going from Wausau or points further south, north of Merrill, you do start to notice I don't want to say too gradual, because it is noticeable. You notice a difference in the topography. You notice the difference in the forests, in the climate. So it does. Our days are a little shorter in the wintertime, a little longer in the summertime, and that does affect what your property is going to look like from season to season.
Absolutely, and you just got to have those eyes open no matter what time of year that you're buying something. Even this time of year, you got to consider what it's going to be like in the summertime.
Right, absolutely. And the funny thing is we see categories like waterfront homes. We see that really slow down to a crawl because people want to know what the shoreline looks like, and it's hard to tell what the shoreline looks like when it's covered in big blocks of ice and snow and you just can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have sold plenty of properties, waterfront properties, in the wintertime for a couple reasons. Number one, I pull soil maps. And it's safe to say that whatever soils you have leading up to the shoreline, they likely continue at least a little bit. We also pull other maps. There's all kinds of, I mean, yeah, LakeLink is a good resource for looking up.
LakeLink.com,
exactly. And then the DNR
Lake-link.com,
there you go. And the DNR has contour maps that have the soils once you get into certain depths and contours in the lake. And also, if there's past listings or past photos of that particular property, you can compare all those things. And in the wintertime, your negotiability for a waterfront home, if that waterfront home is on the market during December, January, February, they didn't pull it for the winter, they want to sell. It is a motivated seller there for that waterfront home. So do your research, work with somebody that knows soils, shoreline, things of that nature, and oftentimes you can negotiate one heck of a deal in the wintertime on a waterfront property.
Before we go any further down this path, what were the things that you really wanted to bring out of our conversation that we're having here this morning?
You know, the main thing that I hear right now, people gripe and complain about prices, and then prices are linked to interest rates.
Right.
And but as we mentioned earlier, you know, you've seen
I saw 4.99
for a refi.
Yep.
And that's here locally.
Right.
I've seen the same thing.
Yeah.
So you hear the quote, I'm waiting for home prices to come down. They're waiting for that slump. Or I almost don't want to use the word crash, because home prices have gone up 12 years in a row. 2025 is expected to be the 13th year in a row that home prices continue to creep up. In the last 82 years, home prices have gone down six times.
Wow.
Only six times in 82 years.
And there were probably bad things that happened in those six times.
Absolutely. And that's, people talk about, well, when prices come down, then I can afford to buy my house. Well, when prices come down, that's an indicator of a lot of other market issues that are going on. And if you can't afford it now, you can't afford it then either.
Yeah.
Not unless you're sitting on a pile of cash. The cash buyers, and they do exist.
Yeah.
This is another thing, is there's a segment in our society that just doesn't understand where all these cash buyers coming from. And they want to blame it on the corporations. Not once have I written an offer for BlackRock or State Street or Vanguard or any other corporation for that matter. Have I written offers for local people who want to build another stream of income through rental houses or through flips, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But those are not the big corporations that are taking all the heat for buying all the properties. Our market is completely different.
Right.
We're not Madison. We're not Denver. We're not Colorado Springs or, you know, any of those big suburbs that are experiencing that. And if a person is waiting on those prices to come down, you better hope you're sitting on a pile of cash, because if you're not, all your other budget aspects are going to take a hit also. So if you can't afford it now, you can't afford it then either.
Baby boomers have been saving money for a long time for their dream home. That's where they're getting the money. Baby boomers have parents that are passing away. They may be inheriting money. And so, there are a lot of cash buyers out there. And so that's just part of the competition that people have to put up with.
Right, right. And I can't remember where I read it, but we are at a point right now in time where a lot of the baby boomers that have invested, that have saved, they are passing away. And we are seeing more and more millionaires in society coming from inheritance than ever before.
Hmm.
And the thing with the way money moves and money is held and money is spent is that you have that bell-shaped curve. And a lot of these folks that are inheriting that money, a very few of them are sitting on it,
right,
or keeping it invested. Yeah. They're spending it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is driving prices up even more, too.
Exactly. And I hate bringing politics in, but it's such a big part of our life these days that chances of prices coming down are probably not going to happen. This person that is a very visible person these days said, bringing prices down are hard. Once prices are up, they rarely come down, even though he promised he would lower these prices. Now he's singing a different tune. So if you're waiting for lower prices, like you said to start off the conversation, chances are something really bad's happening in society and the economy, and that may affect you as well. So the best time to buy a home is when you see the one you like.
Right, right, exactly. Well, if you think about the last time, you know, we saw a big dip, and that was 2008,
right?
9.
Yep. And that was bad times.
It was a very bad time.
Yeah.
And not only did we rebound from that, but there were folks who bought bad. Let's say you bought in 2007 at an all-time high, but things were looking good. Things were feeling solid.
Sure.
Because people bought back then. And in 2008, slapped us all in the face. A lot of people lost a lot of money, lost some assets.
Mm-hmm.
But those that weathered that storm all the way through to the years after COVID, then we saw those people at a point where they could sell those homes that they technically bought bad. They were able to sell those and either break even or come out with a little bit of a profit. And we just picked up the torch, and things have not been listed low. And here's what I alluded to earlier this morning. We have this window of opportunity right now. All the projections that I'm seeing, I mean, we're seeing that, hearing murmurings of the Fed probably lowering their rates by 25 basis points. So that's a quarter, right, quarter of a point.
We saw that already, and things didn't exactly turn out the way a lot of people thought.
Right. Right.
So you got to be careful not to get caught off guard again.
You can't get caught up in that, because the last quarter, when we saw a 50 basis point reduction,
right,
we actually saw rates tick up a little bit. And I think what was happening was just, you know, the strings are being pulled in a way where home prices are already skyrocketing. Inflation is really, so let's control this part of inflation, but not impact this part of inflation when it comes to, you know, home prices. And we don't know what the next reduction will hold or what that will lead to. But what we do know is that consumer confidence is creeping up. With those elected people who were elected to be in office, they're making promises that things will be stable. We're going to curb inflation and things like that. And what that does is it boosts people's confidence.
Right.
It makes them feel more secure. Whether it actually happens or not, people feel confident in spending their money.
All I got to do is look at the numbers from Cyber Monday. A new record was set by a huge amount. And so in a terrible economy, we're setting all kinds of records in this economy as we speak.
Right. Oh, but we're all too broke to buy a house.
Yeah. So it's about priorities. You know what? That's what it all comes down to. How important is getting into a new home? So you got to take a look at a lot of different things. I look at your age, I would assume. Yeah. That is, so where am I going in the future? Where do I want to be? Do I really want to be a homeowner with all the responsibilities that go with it? It's kind of nice to be a renter and not have some of those responsibilities. There's so many questions that you got to ask yourself to be really ready to be in the position to buy a home. Then you got to look at your own income and think, well, you know what? It'll be tight for a while, but we could probably swing this. If you're saying that to yourself before the transaction's done, chances are you may be somebody that might get the loan, but you're going to be home poor.
Right.
You don't have money for anything else, and that's going to bring all kinds of different issues to your situation, too. So there's so much that goes into it beyond the numbers.
There really is, and everybody's situation is a little bit different. There's similarities across the board, for sure, when it comes, again, to that bell-shaped curve, what the majority of the people in our community are making as an income, one income family, two income family, and that drives what people can afford. Now, we're also a secondary home market where we have folks from different communities, different walks of life, that are buying a second home right here. So we're competing with those folks and their economy as well.
Now, you said we're not competing with corporations in this market, so to speak, but what about all the Airbnb stuff? That's not necessarily corporations. It's, you know, individuals who think that they can, this is another way of making some income.
Yeah. Well, and they are. A lot of those buyers are incorporated as a business, but they're small.
Yeah.
You know, they're small. They may have, you know, as few as 2, 3, 4 homes. A few out there may have as many as, you know, 50, 75, or possibly even 100. But for the most part, it's someone who is trying to make a go of this new opportunity with Airbnb and the apps and everything, and this societal change in recreation. We don't see the resorts like we used to. And the ones that are out there may not have all the creature comforts that people are accustomed to. So they want the experience of owning a lake home without buying that lake home if they're only going to use it a couple times a year. And they're willing to spend more in a week or two versus taking on that full, you know, that full mortgage. Well, somebody out there has developed a business plan and they're buying multiple rental homes, putting them all out on Airbnb, and they're making a go of it. And a lot of them are being successful. But with real estate, investing in real estate is really all about the buy. You know, when you come into the market, the better you buy, the better your investment's going to be out in the future. If you bought stupid, thinking you're going to have 15 Airbnb properties and you pay these stupid prices, you know, those are the ones that are coming back on the market right now.
Yeah. They're not seeing that investment coming as fast as they thought. And so that may be presenting some opportunities. So people got to be ready when those opportunities come up. So for a younger couple, especially people setting out to buy their first home, it's been the biggest challenge for people in that category right now. Yeah. Baby boomers, you've had your whole life to spend and get yourself into a good position right now. But for the younger people, those are the ones that I really, really think about in this. They're seeing high interest rates in their lifetime anyway, not in our lifetimes. Right. Historically, interest rates are still pretty low. We've seen them way higher than what they are right now, but there are some signs there. So when you're talking to a young couple, they want that American dream. They want to start a family. They may have already started a family. Now they want a home that they can put roots down in. What is the best advice to tell those people given the market that we're in? Because chances are their income is what it is for the time being and might not change for a long time out. Going to have to make some big changes to make the income get bigger. So what's the best advice to those folks right now, Ben?
Let go of the stuff. Control your spending.
It's really that.
Develop
it comes right
budget.
Down to that.
It really is. You know, and the home that I'm in right now, I actually went against what you hear a lot of investors. I went against their advice. I was at a point, you know, in life where I needed to get into a home. Well, at the time, my biggest asset was a 401k that was started right out of college with my employer.
Okay.
And I had moved employers a couple different times, and that money went with me a couple different places, and I contributed when I could.
Yeah.
You know, because you're thinking about retirement. You're thinking about trying to save early. But I'll be honest, back then I wasn't the greatest at controlling my spending on this shiny thing, or, you know, this ATV or that boat or that fishing pole. Or
comes
that.
With youth.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep, it absolutely does. But when the rubber hit the road, I thought, well, you know, yeah, I'm going to take a big hit. But if I close this 401k, if I close it out, I'm gonna take a big hit right here. But really, what's the hit that I'm losing? It's the interest that I gained. So the money that I put in there, I'm still getting it back.
Right.
I'm just losing that interest that
right.
I gained. And that was enough for me to compete with other buyers and go conventional. I was able to put 20% down on the home that I have right now. And when I look at doing that, how scary it was to do that, and how every retirement investor out there is shaking their head, oh, that was bad. I've recovered. You know, I bought the home. We've done some remodeling. That home is worth more than twice what I paid for it back in 2016 because of the market, because of the updates and all that. So now, and I've recovered in my retirement. It happens, you know. So controlling your spending, saving more, not to get too far in the weeds, but Ann and I watched a documentary with the kids over Thanksgiving break, and it's called Buy Now.
Okay.
And this goes into the psyche of big corporations and how easy it is to buy with just one click, and all the apps and everything that's putting all these new and improved things in front of your face. And with one click, it's on your doorstep the next day or 2 days from now. And not only how that impacts a family budget, but how that impacts everything all the way down to environmental issues. And where does this stuff go when it breaks down and can't be fixed and no longer fits? Or, you know, so we look at how much money is wasted in these everyday impulse purchases. And if you add that up, I would be willing to bet if a couple added that up at the end of the year, their impulse buys, they'd be surprised at how much they could afford a house.
It's huge. And a lot of time, Ben, those are all lessons that come with just being on the planet a little longer. It starts to come back to you. When you get older, you're thinking, oh, gosh, why did I do this? Did I really need that thing when I was 25 years old? Drive a beater with a heater.
Yeah.
You don't need that new car and the payment that comes along with it and the high insurance. So you got to make some real, real tough choices, because this home ownership is nothing to take lightly.
Yeah. The most powerful thing that you have in your pocket to invest, whether it's in retirement or in a home or in real estate, is your income. And the more you fight to keep your income, the better off you're going to be when it comes to making these investment choices. But if you freely give away that income for a new car payment or for a new outfit or whatever it may be, when you freely give that away, you no longer have that income to help you start building wealth.
And again, with age comes maturity, comes wisdom, and all the good things that usually come along with those things. But I lost everything, Ben, a couple times before I read a book that said, pay yourself first. Yeah. Whatever money comes into your possession, take 10% of that, put it away in an account that you absolutely will not touch. Yeah. And you're thinking, well, 10%, that isn't very much. You look at it after a year, after 2 years, after 5 years, you're thinking, boy, this is the best advice I ever had. Pay myself first, take 10%, put that away, and then all these other great things in life all of a sudden are available.
Yeah. Usually, most of us spend what we have.
Yeah.
So if you take what we have and go ahead and hide 10% of that and look at what's left is what you have, well, at least you're not spending everything.
Yeah. And the things in life that we worry about oftentimes are out of our control, but how much money is going out of our wallet is 100% controllable by us. And that's something that when you feel out of control and this market just isn't for you, take control of the stuff you can control, and then you'll see good things happen.
Absolutely. And everywhere you turn, there's shiny things. There's another shiny thing begging for you to buy it, especially this time of year, this season. But, you know, what better thing to provide your family, your spouse, your heck, even your kids, is that, first of all, that advice on how to retain your income and make wise investments, whether, you know, in your future, whether it be retirement or real estate. But hey, What about a piece of property?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. It all starts with a plan, and you got to have that plan. Then you got to work the plan. And no matter how old you are, no matter what the market is, you get a good plan, good things can happen.
Absolutely.
It all starts when it comes to buying property with dealing with a real estate professional. Ben, the man for land, is definitely that. So, Ben, how can people have a conversation just like this so they can find themselves with their dreams coming true?
Yeah, best way is a call or a text to 715-550-5683 or shoot an email to bentheman4land@gmail.com.
I'm sure I'll talk to you again beforehand, but Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and hope business is good.
Right back at you. Thank you.
Ben the Man for Land Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros.